The most powerful thing you can ever do is to pray. I'm going to read those verses for you from John 14 that the video alluded to. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. I'll say that again. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then it finishes, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. The most powerful thing we can do is pray. So let's pray. Today we are beginning an 8-week series on prayer. And we're going to base our material on Pete Gregg's book, How to Pray, and the prayer course that has been developed by the 24/7 prayer community. In our newsletters, you might have seen a link to that website. There is a whole lot of resources and information upon that. But I don't want these 8 weeks to be a download of information on prayer. I would really like it to be an experience of going deeper, of discovering, perhaps for the first time, or perhaps a rediscovery of the power of prayer. That idea of communicating and knowing God and drawing close to God and seeing that his power can and does move in our lives and in our world. I hope that these next 8 weeks will be really, really practical, because prayer is very simply a conversation with God. It's talking and listening. That's the short verse. That's the short version of the next 8 weeks. We'll unpack that a little bit more. But it's talking and listening to God. And as a community, we want to do this together. And so I pray that this will also be a time of talking and listening to one another as we seek God's direction for our church as well. And so if God is speaking with you, please share that. If God is laying an idea or a thought or just an impression upon your heart, don't keep that to yourself. Come and share it with us. Let these 8 weeks be a real time of talking and listening to one another and with God. Because we want to hear from God. We want to very intentionally hear from God. Because if you're anything like me, you need his wisdom in your life. I need his wisdom in my life. I need his leading in my life. In our prayer meeting this morning, David introduced us to the PRAY model of prayer. It's kind of like a bit of a scaffold for how to shape prayers. This model has been developed by the 24/7 prayer community, and it's used all the way around the world. It's pretty simple and it's possibly easy to remember. So I offer some resources over these next 8 weeks as well. P, pause. Don't come to God rushing and with a scattered mind and many thoughts and a whole lot of to-dos around the house. Pause to be still. R, rejoice and reflect. David kind of mentioned to us, sometimes we do the A bit a whole lot in our prayers. But don't rush to that. Don't rush to the ask. Stop, get your heart still, get your mind still. Rejoice, look at some of the Psalms, read some scripture. Lift your heart in thankfulness and gratitude to God. A is ask. God wants us to talk to him and bring to him what's going on in our life. He wants us to ask him about stuff. And why is yield? Or yes, might be an easier way of remembering it. It's that agreement with what God has been saying, what you've read in Scripture, and what you've felt in your heart. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer as Leanne has introduced us this morning. It's the model that Jesus taught his disciples. And in Luke chapter 11, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." So over these next 8 weeks, we're going to dig deeper into the Lord's Prayer. If the P-R-A-Y is kind of like a scaffold, the Lord's Prayer is the roadmap. It's this 2,000-year-old prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. And we're going to unpack some of these themes together. Adoration, petition, intercession, unanswered prayer. What do we do with that? Contemplation, listening, and spiritual warfare. And so it's going to be very, very different each week. And so each week will be a different part of focusing on the Lord's Prayer. And so as a community, I hope it is your prayer as it is my prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. You see, the disciples got to see Jesus up close, didn't they? They could have asked him to teach them anything. How to teach, how to heal. I'm sure some of his fishermen might have asked him, "How do you fish like you do?" But instead, the one thing they asked him, "How do we pray? Lord, will you teach us how to pray?" It's the prayer life of Jesus that his disciples most wanted. They saw his intimacy with his Father. They saw it as his habit, the way he just went on his own to lonely places, to quiet places, all the time, and he prayed. They saw his reliance on prayer. And so they asked him, "Lord, will you teach us how to pray?" In Mark 1, verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And throughout the Gospels, we read how Jesus did this. He made a habit of getting up, going by himself somewhere quiet and praying. Before launching out in public ministry, he fasted for more than a month in the wilderness. Before choosing his 12 disciples, he prayed all night. When he heard that his cousin John had been executed, he withdrew by boat to a solitary place and he prayed. After feeding the 5,000, his response was to climb a mountain on his own and go and pray. When the pressures of fame threatened to crush him, Jesus prayed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was crushed, he prayed. On the cross, he even prayed. He prayed and he prayed and he prayed. But firstly, why pray? Well, why do you pray? What is it that draws you to your knees? What is it that draws you to stop sometimes in the midst of your everyday and ask for help? Or to look and just respond in praise? What is it that stops you in your day? Why do you pray? Prayer, it seems, is instinctive. It's kind of like it's a part of human nature. Regardless of our faith, our beliefs, or even our choice to not believe, we all do it. And yet most people, and sometimes even many Christians, find little life in prayer. Do you find prayer hard? I'm so hoping I'm not the only one in the room here. Do you find prayer hard? Do you sometimes find that prayer is boring? And so the very thought of an 8-week series on prayer, you're thinking, oh my goodness. Are you looking forward to it, or are you thinking, how are we going to get through these 8 weeks? Prayer can be confusing. It can sometimes feel a bit like it's an obligation and you kind of have to do it. Do our prayers actually do anything? Does prayer change anything? It might be instinctive, but it sure comes with a whole lot of questions. Why pray? Perhaps the best answer to that comes from Philippians chapter 4. From verses 5 and 7. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The reality, though, is that most followers of Jesus spend far more hours turning over anxious thoughts than surrendering them in prayer. Tyler Staton, in his book on prayer, writes, "Anxiety is the soundtrack humming beneath modern life." One of the great privileges I've had in my life was to work at St John of God Psychiatric Hospital. And I got to speak at the different groups in the hospital about, the topic was always spirituality, but it was that challenge of how do I make faith real in a place of such acute distress. One of the groups was called the Wise Mind Group, which was based on a model of therapy called dialectical behavioural therapy. And this particular cohort had the most challenging emotional dysregulation that I've ever seen in my life. Their lives were filled with risky behaviours. Their lives were filled with an ongoing battle with suicidal ideation, unhealthy and unhelpful ways of trying to manage that stress. And because the psychology textbooks talk about spirituality as an asset in somebody's recovery, I got to talk about it. It was allowed in the hospital. And in the Wise Mind Group, one of the topics was prayer, because prayer actually helps calm a troubled mind. That's what the research shows us. And so I got to teach them a bit about prayer. That's the challenges of an acute mental health setting. But if I'm to be really honest with you, I'm a whole lot more familiar with anxiety than I am with God's peace. That great exchange from Philippians chapter 4. How about you? Do you experience that great exchange of that transaction of our anxieties, our fears, our worries, our overthinking to God's peace? If there's any reason to pray, that's it. God's peace wants to enter into our lives, into our mind, and settle those anxious thoughts. In the PRAY model, the pause at the beginning helps us to stop. It can dull out the hum of the anxiety in our world. It can quieten it for a moment. The prayer of approach, that if you do the Lectio 365 reflections each day, this is how I start my morning. As I enter prayer now, I pause to be still, to breathe slowly, and I very consciously start to slow my breathing, to recenter my scattered senses upon the presence of God. It's a good way to start the day. Why pray? We pray because trust comes before faith. Faith gets rattled by life. My faith gets rattled by life. But trust in God's goodness, that's a real stronghold. Trust is confidence in the character of God. The character that is never changing, always faithful, always good. That part of rejoice and reflect, of really bearing in mind and calling to us and stirring our hearts about the character of God, that can settle our hearts because we can trust in the goodness of God. Why pray? Because complaints are welcome. Israel's prayer book, the Psalms, reveals a wide variety of prayers that include things like complaining, anger, despair. It's all there. If you want to read the most honest prayers ever written, open up the Psalms. Here's a few of them for us this morning from Psalm 140. May burning coals fall on them. May they be thrown into the fire, into miry pits, never to rise. The psalmist was having a bad day. I am worn out, calling for help. My throat is parched. My eyes fail, looking for my God. Have you ever felt like that? I pour out before him my complaint before I tell him my trouble. It's an unusual model, perhaps, of starting with prayer, but I'm straight into complaint. But it's honest. God wants a relationship with us. He doesn't want our well-prepared speeches that are spoken from perfect motives. We don't get to that place, really. God just wants us to be real. So how do we get started? Well, let's keep it simple. I loved that version that Annette read to us. I haven't read through that version for a long time for the Lord's Prayer. But I want to read a couple of those verses again. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so that you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense his grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors, peddling techniques for getting what they want or what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and he knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. How do we get started? Keep it simple. Don't make it too hard. The former Archbishop Justin Welby writes, "The Lord's Prayer is simple enough to be memorised by small children, and yet profound enough to sustain a whole lifetime of prayer." I'm hoping that the profound part we will discover in you in these next 7 weeks. How do we get started? Keep it real. Go with what's on your heart. Start there. If it's complaining, start there. If it's disappointment, heartache, anger, start there and keep it real. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. We can be real because God, our Father, knows what we need. He knows what's on our hearts. We don't need to get the words right. In Romans, it talks about our spirit kind of groans when we can't even get the words out. God knows what we need. Sometimes to help keep it real, I really find it helpful to read prayers or poems that other people have written. And here's a prayer from Ted Loader that I thought I might share with you this morning. Eternal One, there is something I wanted to tell you, but my mind races with worrying and watching, with weighing up and planning, with rutted slights and pothole grievances, with leaky dreams and leaky plumbing, and leaky relationships I keep trying to plug up. And my attention is preoccupied with loneliness, with doubt, and with things I covet. And I forget what it is I want to say to you and how to say it honestly, or how to do much of anything. Oh God, please don't forget me for the sake of Jesus Christ. How do we get started? Keep it up. Jesus made it a habit. How do we get habits started? It's kind of like eating well and exercising well. It doesn't happen after 1 or 2 days. It takes probably a good month of getting into a habit before it really starts to become second nature. Keep it simple. Keep it real. And keep it up. Just start. As I said before, there's a few links to websites on our newsletter this week. There is a whole lot of resources there, different ideas about prayer. Just get started. If you can't have struggled to find the words for yourself, maybe use somebody else's words to get started. Well, that's enough talking about prayer. Let's pray. So I invite you, as the musicians are going to lead us in a song, The Goodness of God. Because when we can trust in the goodness of God, prayer gets a little bit easier when things are going a bit rough for us. So if you're new to our church, I want to just explain a couple of things that work in the Salvation Army. At the Salvation Army, we have a place of prayer at the front of our church, and we use it to pray. Yes, you can pray where you're sitting, and God will certainly hear you there. But somehow in the Salvation Army, we find it's really helpful to come and kind of kneel before God. Kneeling, knowing that we have somebody who will come and pray with us, and we have a whole congregation behind us who is supporting us in prayer. Because sometimes we don't really believe in the goodness of God. And so I invite you today, if you would like to pray, come to our place of prayer. We've left the cross in place for this Easter season. You might want to use somebody else's words. There's songbooks at the back. If you don't know well the song that the band is introducing us to, you might just want to grab a songbook and come and kneel and pray those words at the cross. In our songbook for song 646, the words are, here at the cross in this sacred hour, here at the source of reviving power, helpless indeed, I come with my need, Lord. For thy service fit me, I plead. If you want to kneel at the cross this morning, come and kneel. If you don't believe the words of the goodness of God and you want to believe, come and kneel. Grab somebody with you, talk to the person beside you, and they will pray with you. We will all pray with you. But don't let prayer be something that we talk about. Let's pray together. Friends, will you join in prayer together as we sing? Let's pray.